Another Day, Another Impact podcast. You're listening to Funded by Plus Impact, and this time, we are hosting our very first venture capital on the show, Pre-Seed Ventures, with co-founder and general partner, Richard Breider. In this episode, we go back and forth on why 2021 is the year of impact, how VCs can nudge sustainability, and also we cover the benefits of an ESG framework when investing in startups, including so much more. Make sure you hit follow on our show wherever you listen to podcasts to never miss a beat on the blossoming scene of impact. Enjoy. Welcome to the Funded by Plus Impact podcast. Today I'm joined by Richard Breider, co-founder and general partner at Pre-Seed Ventures. Richard, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for inviting me. Looking forward to this discussion about this very important topic.
Yeah, definitely. So I really want to just quickly get you to introduce the listener to Pre-Seed Ventures. What are you doing there, and what's the mission of Pre-Seed Ventures?
Sure. So I'm Richard. I'm partner and one of the co-founder of Pre-Seed Ventures, new dedicated pre-seed stage fund. So actually, this is the first, so to say, institutional backed fund at the pre-seed stage coming out of Denmark. So we are here to fund the next generation of tech startups born out of Denmark. So that's basically what we are doing.
Super cool. I had the pleasure of actually tuning into a super great webinar that you actually hosted yesterday regarding VCs and impact. So I really wanted to start out the whole thing by getting your take on why you think that 2021 has become the year of increased impact from VCs.
Sure. I think there's some kind of a mega trend going on now, maybe sort of say accelerated by both the climate crisis we are seeing, but also the health corona pandemic. So I think some of these things are, I mean, people are getting their eyes open for this. This is really serious now, and they can see the impact when we are not, so to say, acting. So I think it's accelerated by that, and there's coming a pressure on these issues from all different directions, both, so to say, bottom up and top down.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things going on now, and I think actually we are seeing a new wave. It's always been there, but it's more like going to be mainstream. I think it's more like here to stay for the longer run.
That's at least for me, like very good to hear, because I think personally that 2021, like, this should have happened a long time ago, because impact needs to happen right now, and we need the capital to lead the way. But for how long have Pre-Seed has had their eye on impact, do you think? So I know you're not like a fully dedicated impact fund, but
No, but it's an interesting question, because I think, I mean, most or all VC funds, I mean, that's the asset class. I mean, they will fund visionary founders working on solving, so to say, big problems in society for a lot of people. So if they don't do that, they can't build a big business, and then the returns will not come. So I think there is already something built into the venture model that we are funding visionary people who will change the status quo. And if you do that and build a big company, then on that way, on that journey, you will actually create a lot of growth and jobs in the society. So actually, I think actually venture by default and that asset class will do a lot of good for the society. And also, if you take a country like Denmark, I mean, what should we live from in the future? So I think all, so to say, companies will be technology based. And if we don't develop the next big companies out of Denmark, they will be developed somewhere else. And I mean, technology and these new tech companies, they don't know borders. So if we don't do it here, someone else will develop it. So I think actually this is what we should live from in the future. And therefore, I think, I mean, even we just call it a tech and VC, I think we play a big role in the society, and we can do a big impact by doing that. Of course, you can put on some extra layers when we talk about sustainability, and that's also why we have developed our ESG strategy to push the agenda forward, so all companies can embrace it and move in a more sustainable direction. But I will also say that I think Startups are actually part of the solution to the climate crisis and not of all of the other, so to say, ESG parameters out there. So new technology, new innovation is often coming from startups. So, So I think it has always been built in, and now there are a lot of new, so to say, terms coming, and we are of course also having more focused on it, and it is getting more matured. Another trend I'm seeing is that a lot of, so to say, young brave people, they they want to solve some of these challenges. So we also see more talent around solving some of these, so to say, SDGs.
So the entrepreneurs and are kind of I think also pushing the trend of wanting to solve like bigger problems. In the
world. I mean, venture capital firm, we are not building companies ourselves. I mean, we invest in people who have the right ideas and who can execute on it. So if we don't see the deal flow, it's hard for us to change it, right? Mm-hmm. So we are also dependent on what is out there. And of course, we have a lot of power. We can vote with our capital. Mm-hmm. But as we see a trend that, I mean, the deal flow within, so to say, sustainability, maybe they don't call themselves impact startups, but a lot of companies are actually working on solving some of these important problems that we face in society. And also the change I'm a little bit seeing is that things also goes hand in hand. I think you can build a unicorn based on solving, so to say, the SDGs.
Yeah.
It comes as a result. So it's not like some kind of trade-off. I think many years ago, for me at least, impact startup is also having, it has changed over time. So it's not always about compromising financial performance to achieve some goal.
Exactly.
I think also we see a new category of startups where they go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like you should sacrifice one for the other. Maybe there are some decisions along the way, but I mean, every business is in a way, the goal is not to create money. I mean, that's the result of whatever they do. So,
yeah.
I mean, the founders we want to back, they are vision-driven. That's what should, drive them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be hard times. So they should have a big purpose, because else they will never succeed. Then you can always discuss what is a good purpose, what is a bad purpose. And then there's a big gray area there.
Yeah.
But I must say that the trend has also accelerated.
Mm-hmm.
And we can come back to it later, also to our, so to say, ESG strategy. We are working on some, so to say, investment themes, and they are going in waves, so to say. But actually, we are seeing a new, so to say, for us at least, we are working with a new theme around sustainability, because we think that there will be many new unicorns in that segment. So it's on the, so to say, same level as fintech startups or health AI. So that's a new, so to say, investment theme for us. But I also say that, I mean, the SDGs, there are 17, and then there are a lot of sub-goals, and it's very broad, so to say, area.
It is.
So it's also sometimes a little bit hard to define, because, I mean, if you just look within health tech, which is also, it's been for a long time, a interesting and focus area for us, but I mean, many of those startups you can actually also link to the SDGs. Also, many fintech startups can also be linked to it. So, it's not that, so to say, always black and white. Who can own the label of being an impact startup?
No, I totally agree with you. So you definitely see two worlds colliding, actually becoming one, more or less. Or it's at least about to happen, right? I also think it's interesting that you touch upon that it's not a trade-off anymore. And that has been one of like the myths about impact startups and why they've had a hard time before getting like these bigger investment, this capital power that could actually take their impact and scale it to the rest of the world. Do you think that has been because the tech side has not been as focused on impact, where it has more before been based on science, scientifically resource-heavy projects where the investor can actually see, okay, this is a longer investment that I'd initially like to invest in?
There's been a change,
but
of course also today you will see different kind of startups. I mean, we are looking at just in Denmark, we are looking at, I don't know, 700 startups a year at least.
Mm-hmm.
And we only invest in some percent. And some of them, they will fit to the venture capital model.
Yeah.
All startups will not do it and should also not do it. It depends on what you want to do mm-hmm. and if it makes sense.
Yeah.
So I think the question is more, I mean, I think the category, the intersection between, so to say, impact and you can build a big company,
yeah.
I think that intersection has been growing. And I don't know the reason for it, but some of the reason is also the people starting these companies. The ecosystem has matured. We are so to say, in many directions, we are seeing much more talent, people who have tried it before. So I think also, not to insult anyone, but I think beforehand, many years ago, it was a certain type of people who wanted to start an impact business.
Mm-hmm.
And today, I think it's more like blurred in a way. So we're seeing a lot of tech people also going into working on the SDGs and vice versa. So I think it's more healthy for the ecosystem that you have different kind of people working on these things, and it's getting more, so to say, interweaved in a way.
Yeah.
So at least when we look at our deal flow, we see much more cases ticking the box of, okay, we think they can actually build a big company on this, and actually they're also working on solving important problems we're facing in the world. So I think, I mean, we invest in Danish founded companies, so we're also limited by what we see here.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we have just raised a fund, and we have also promised some returns.
Yeah.
For our investors, so we cannot, so to say, just compromise performance how it is today, I mean, for these issues. So we both need to look at, do you think we can create the financial performance?
Yeah.
And of course, we also want to move the world in a more positive direction and solve some of these big issues. And that's also why, I mean, as mentioned before, we don't call ourselves an impact fund, but we have a strong, so to say, ESG strategy, both for our own operations as a fund, but I think we can do, so to say, we are a small organization, we are not that many people, we have an office, we don't travel that much.
Mm-hmm.
We are based here in Denmark. Our startups, they are very early, they are also based in Denmark, so it's quite local.
Yeah.
Actually what we are doing, but where we can do, I think, where we can have the biggest impact is when it comes to what we invest in and how we drive the investment decisions.
Mm-hmm.
and also how do we help our companies after we have, so to say, invested in driving them in a more, so to say, sustainable direction. So we will also, so to say, invest in visionary founders, maybe not directly working on solving one of the SDGs, but it could be a technology platform company that another company could build on. But we still believe that if these, maybe they don't call themselves impact companies, but if these companies will embrace the ESG framework, I honestly believe that both it will do good for the world, but also financially, if they focus on these things, I think in the longer run, they will outperform their peers, not taking these factors into account. So I don't think it's... I think actually also from a financial perspective, it makes sense.
Yeah.
To look at these things and incorporate, and you can build a more like sustainable business, and the outcome of that will also be, I mean, drive better performance.
Yeah.
So I don't see the trade-off there. And then, as mentioned, then we have, so to say, an investment theme. I would like to invest in as many companies addressing these SDGs, mm-hmm. so to say, more directly, and have as many as possible in our portfolio.
Yeah.
But it's hard to, we don't have any ratios on it, and we will not lower the bar for, so to say, these impact SDG startups if we don't think that they can create the results we need, because then our fund will not perform, and then we cannot raise the
yeah.
next,
so
and that will also not be good for society.
Yeah. So you also need the business to come into play. But it's actually really interesting hearing that coming from a more traditional VC, especially talking about your deal flow, but also your specific human first ESG policy, because I think that's actually one of the drivers for you guiding these impact startups, but also yourself in the organization. So maybe you can take me through that policy in the way that that actually helps to guide and maybe at a later point also help scale this impact or at least influence in some way.
Yes, so to say, and we have talked about this for a long time, and we have worked on our sort of say ESG strategy. In that sense, is maybe also new for us, and we are also on a learning curve here to figure out how to do it in the best way. But I will say that we have an intrinsic drive to work on this, and we want to do it. Of course, we're also seeing pressure from a lot of different stakeholders all around us. So we have developed an so to say ESG strategy addressing both the S and the the E and the S and the G along these three categories. We call our own operations, how we drive our investments, and also the work with our portfolio companies.
Okay.
Maybe start with the investment bucket, so to say.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of VCs, they will face, so to say, negative lists from their LPs, and I think they have also grown over time. So of course we have some we do have the same, but that's, so to say, just like, it's more like sorting stuff out that is obvious not moving the world in a better direction. So it's more like from a risk perspective, I would say. But what we have done as new initiatives is that when we look at companies and rate them and discuss them, then we also discuss ESG or the positive impact they will do. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've always discussed that. If they succeed, will they move the world in a better direction?
Yeah.
Do we like this vision? Do we want to be part of that? But on that list where we look at team, market, value prop, all the other things, I mean, we have explicit now a parameter called, so to say, ESG impact, and we will have a discussion around that. And then also part of our investment process, we will do a ESG, so to say, risk assessment.
Okay.
But it's not only risk, it's also an opportunity assessment. But because, to be honest, I mean, we're mostly investing in digital startups.
Mm-hmm.
They are small, it's in Denmark. Normally there are not that many issues with the G part.
Yeah.
I mean, of course they need to pay tax, but a lot of other things, that are normal, and then maybe there's something with the data privacy and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
But normally we don't see, I mean, at least yet, we haven't seen that many ESG red flags when we do the due diligence and when we come to that part. But we actually see a lot of opportunities for how we can move them in a more sustainable direction.
Okay.
And actually, we think we can do a big impact there because, I mean, we are in contact with a lot of companies. I mean, we are at the pre-seed stage, so we have a diversified investment strategy. It's risky, but that means that we need to invest in a pretty big portfolio of companies in order to reduce the risk of the overall performance for the whole portfolio. So we are going to invest in quite many companies, and if we can move all those companies in just in a slightly better direction, I think it will do good. And also, when the companies are young, if they can, as sort of say, adapt good behavior early and have these things in mind, sometimes, you can do some small things having a big impact, and if you build into the culture and the DNA of the company, then it's much easier if you've done it from the beginning instead of doing it later. That's at least how we see it.
Yeah.
On the other side, we also have big respect that, I mean, for that startups are heavily resource constrained. I mean, they really need to prioritize hard. It's a small team, they have so many tasks, so if you just force a lot of policies and reporting and requirements and everything on it, they will just die, and then they will not succeed with what they're doing anyway. So I think the trick here early on is also to figure out how do we do it, so to say, in a good way, and how do we dose it compared to the stage they are on.
Mm-hmm.
So those are a few things that we are doing around ESG. And as mentioned before, we are also about to develop an investment theme around the SDGs.
Yeah.
And we want to be in contact with all startups in Denmark, working with these within that category. In general, I mean, our task is to see all deal flow in Denmark and be in contact with everything here. So here, so part of having that investment scene is also linked to, I mean, to be aware of all the things going on in the ecosystem around that.
Yeah.
And then we have a lot of other things, because in a way we are limited by the deal flow we are seeing. So how can we actually contribute to that we will see a better, I mean, and a deal flow in the future with more SDG startups? Mm-hmm. How do we actually also move in a direction so the startups themselves, they think about these ESG things early on, so it's not just a push from the investors.
Yeah.
So those are some of the things we are looking on as I mean, when we do, so to say, in investments.
Yeah. How do you go about measuring your impact then?
That's a good question.
Because I would like to know if you are assessing impact in a generalized way, or if you are looking into being more specific in being more experts within a pack of SDGs instead of the whole color palette, if you can say so.
Yes, and I think there are a couple of interesting questions bundled together.
Yeah.
So first, I think it's important to understand how our fund is structured. So
okay.
We are, so to say, a pre-seed stage investor.
Mm-hmm.
We are so to say geographically limited to Denmark. We also want to increase our geographic scope a little bit wider, but if we have already limit ourselves to that bucket, then we also have tech and primarily, I mean, digital companies within software, maybe they have some hardware.
Yeah.
So if we tighten that scope even more, we will not see that deal flow. We'll not see a sufficient strong deal flow in Denmark to build a fund and create those returns.
Mm-hmm.
So if we would limit our investments themes even further, then we should also broaden our geographic scope.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll also do that, but right now we are, so to say, we have limited ourselves to that geographic scope because that is what we know. And also pre-seed investments used to be quite local. That one maybe also changed. And now, I mean, we have done some investments over Zoom. We haven't even met the founders before. So the world is also changing on that parameter.
Yeah.
But pre-seed, because, I mean, we need to get the best deal flow. So it's hard if you have a broad geographic scope. So there are also some constraints built into that. So we cannot allow ourselves to only focus on some narrow themes. Then we should have a wider geographic scope, and then that is causing some other challenges along
definitely,
the way.
Yeah.
But we have also discussed, I mean, we are, so to say, a generalist within tech also. We invest across a lot of different areas, both health, fintech, consumer, B2B, SDGs. So I mean, we're pretty, so to say, broad. Of course, there are some areas we like more than others, and we can also see if you invest along these mega trends, then you will, so to say, ride on a wave, and that will make things easier. So
yeah.
Certain themes and areas are more interesting to us, and you will get, so to say, a plus if you're within that. But I mean, it's also hard for us to predict where will the next unicorn be. So we also need to be open-minded, and we believe that the startups are actually the best one to figure out these problems to solve, and then we will fund them.
So do you also help these impact investment cases set up goals for the impact? I'm not talking about the ones that might be supporting impact indirectly, but let's take an impact case where you know that this is the core of their business. Do you help them set the goal of how much impact they need to scale within a certain time frame from your investment?
To be honest with you, I think we are very early on that journey.
Okay.
We haven't done that much on that yet, but I think you will see more from us on that area. I mean, we work with early stage startups, and actually we are using quite a lot of time with our startups to be like more data and metric driven in what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I mean, the work just of implementing the right KPIs in the company is actually a quite big task. and then figuring out how to do it and to implement it and to track it and all those things. So that's also why a little bit, I mean, some investors, I mean, you could also have the approach, okay, if we have invested in you, you should track X, Y, and Z. Okay, conversion rate this, revenue this, or active users. But actually, we have figured out that's not working that well. So we rather want to take the conversation with the company and figure out, for their business model, what is making sense for them? What are the key drivers, both financial metrics, but also business metrics? What is it that they should look at? What is it they should track? And I think we will need to do the same with some of these impact measures.
Yeah,
But I think also that the metrics should just not be vanity marketing metrics.
No.
So it's also like, the trick is, I mean, can you find a, so to say, now you call it an impact metric that makes sense that you can steer your business on?
Yeah, I mean, because it's easy with revenue,
it's some kind of a universal parameter.
Yeah.
And if you create revenue, you should hopefully also create do more good every time you do it.
But I definitely believe that working on, and yes, it is a long process to kind of determine impact KPIs, right? But I think over time, that will help these impact cases attract even more attention also from the traditional VC space, because they can actually prove by data that I can run a business, but I can also scale impact, right?
Yeah. I think how it is today, that's at least my impression, is that most impact investors, they are very eager to measure that. But I also agree that in order to drive a change, you should also be able to quantify it and measure it and see if we're going in the right direction. And then impact investors, LPs, I mean, they, okay, we want to invest in these areas, and therefore you also should be able to measure, for instance, CO2 footprint. Okay, that's what we care about, you should measure it. But I don't know, that's not my feeling at least, that many traditional investors I think they want to invest in these companies, in this category, but I don't know. I think it will come, but I don't think they look too. I mean, they look a lot on all the other metrics, and hopefully they should also correlate to impact measures. But I think we're early on still on the trend on figuring out how to do it in the best ways. In some startups, it's pretty easy to do it. In others, it's more like a step further away and more complicated to figure out how to do it.
I spoke to Richard Engstrom, founder of the One Initiative, recently, also on the podcast, and he had an interesting view about also the generalized way of assessing impact cases. And what he believed was that the whole impact ecosystem needed more VCs to be niched within SDGs, to say that, okay, so we are only going to work with several. And as you say, that will create some challenges for VCs like yourself with pre-seed, being limited to only Denmark for the time being right now. But do you think in general that it will work, or do you think that it is possible to standardize ESG measures, because that would also make the job easier for the startups, right, to kind of get investments, because they wouldn't have to kind of create their pitch or measure their business in different ways regarding which investor they're pitching to.
I think you will see more specialized funds, but I think you will also see more like more opportunistic funds. If you go to the US, it's a much bigger market. I mean, you need to be specialized, and you need to have some themes, both because, I mean, you need to attract people within that category, and if you're an expert in that field, I mean, you will also better attract, I mean, startups for that, and there's more competition and marketing, and so there's a trend towards, I mean, being more specific and being better at doing that, those specific things. So I think that, and we are also seeing more like specialized impact funds. Okay, I'm focused on, let's say, CO2 footprint. I'm focused on something else. So I think we will see that. But if you have a very narrow topic, you also need a broader geographic footprint in order to have good enough deal flow to create the results you need. So everything is, so to say, connected.
Okay.
But I think we will see, I mean, we'll see different players, and that's I think that's natural, and that's a natural part of seeing the ecosystem maturing. And I think it's much easier. I mean, if you focus on climate change, let's say that, then of course there are some parameters where you can easily compare the impact on climate change across the deal flow you are seeing, and say, okay, will this do greater impact than that, and which one do I believe most? And I think I'm not an impact investor, but I have looked at some impact investors' strategy, and I think some of them, they are, so to say, also broad. They are focusing on all the SDGs. So how do you compare doing something better on the S part in one startup comparing doing something better on the E part? I mean, it's like comparing two different complete things. So how do you weight them?
Yeah.
And then what I see many are doing is that, okay, each company needs to set some targets, and then we measure, okay, how much, will you achieve that target?
Yeah.
And then you, across all the, so to say, SDGs will measure, okay, how far are you on reaching those? But I think it's very hard to, but it depends also, I mean, what do you value most? How do you compare biodiversity to CO2 footprint?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
What is most important?
Yeah.
And who is the judge of that?
So it's
complicated.
Yeah.
It's much easier if it's, for say, with money. That's some kind of universal unit that can measure everything, so to say, right?
Yeah. I'm also keen to kind of learn, because we've had some of your investment cases like Plant Jammer, Radiobotics, and Neue on the show as well. And I wanted to know if these cases have helped you kind of open your eyes towards impact, or have they proven that, okay, it actually goes hand in hand, and this is why we need to focus more on sustainable business cases?
I think when we created the new strategy for our funds, I mean, we have looked at all the startups we have worked with, and also what is happening in the ecosystem and all around the world. So we've been investing for a long time, and we've been part of many startups journeys. So all those journeys have been part of our, so to say, new strategy. But of course, I mean, we are inspired by what is happening and all the role models out there, and the results that we are seeing is also making us believe that, okay, you can actually create unicorns out of this category. And also, I think the same goes for new founders and entrepreneurs, that if you can see someone who has done it and succeeded building a company also within some of these new segments, then you will also inspire a new generation of entrepreneurs to go in that direction. So everything, so to say, is connected. And I think also, going back to what I talked about before, like, I mean, now they're working within personalized skincare. And how can they actually embrace the ESG framework and factors in order to move in a more sustainable direction? And actually, by doing it right and integrated into their, so to say, DNA, to their business model, to their brand, they can actually also use it proactively.
Okay.
So to differentiate and drive value in that way.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think also a lot of tech companies, I mean, there are a lot of actually, there are many opportunities by doing this, and also order to differentiate yourself. And I think that will also, as more and more people will do it, then even if you see some startups not caring about it, they will have to do it, because, I mean, it's some kind of standard.
I mean,
you need to do this. I mean, else you're...
It sounds a lot like that you really are a believer in the next generation of entrepreneurs, and also the that you have belief that impact startups can become unicorns, actually. So you're not trying to force impact into your firm, and that's actually kind of optimistic. But I wanted to know. Because some are actually discussing whether setting up specific quotes for your ratios in your portfolio, like the minimum of your portfolio needs to be, 30% of them needs to be impact, or 40% needs to be impact. Do you believe in that? Yeah. Or do you think it's vanity?
But I mean, it's like the same discussion with putting quotas for gender diversity and all that. And I think sometimes you need to do it in order to have the focus on it and drive it in direction.
Yeah.
But I'm not a big fan of it because then you also sometimes get a mental model of, okay, you have my portfolio here, and then I need to blend in some impact startups. And then hopefully nobody will see and will not impact the result. Hopefully it should be the other way around in a way. And it should not like be, okay, we know that these startups will not perform as well, but now we try to blend in some of them and then hopefully it will work out. So, but you're right. I mean, we don't have specific targets for it. And maybe, as you say, worst case, we will not have any, but I do believe that we will, and I can already see that maybe they don't call themselves impact startup, but we care about it, so we want to do it. Yeah. But on the other hand, I mean, we also are here to deliver some results to our investors, so we cannot go back and say, okay, we didn't deliver this results, and then come up with a lot of excuses, but we blended in a lot of these startups, or we. I mean, that will not work. So we both need to have an eye on the results, and then hopefully we can also move the world in a better direction while doing that in a way.
So driven by belief and trust in that people actually will do the right thing.
But it's not like that we're just sitting and praying. Actually, we have an ESG strategy, and we're proactively driving it forward. We're taking a lot of different actions. And I think... I mean, it takes time to change, and I mean, and I think we're in a good development. So actually, we're investing quite a lot in this area here to make it happen. So it's not like it's not like just sitting and praying, and then hopefully it will solve itself. Actually, we want to drive this agenda here.
Yeah, but I can definitely see that you're trying to drive change, and I can also go by a slogan I read on your website as well that says that, yeah, we want to make it big, but we also want to make it right. And I think that's very ambitious because within tech, which is one of your focus areas, you can kind of see that you can go different routes, right? And we've seen the social dilemma. We've also seen the opportunities that cryptocurrencies has created, but we can now also see the data behind the whole energy consumption that the whole blockchain technology is creating, and by all these Bitcoin miners all over the world are creating like huge energy consumption that is very, very hurting the climate at the moment. So how can we, and how can VCs also at an early stage come in and make sure that, yeah, we make it big, but we also use the technology to make it right?
Yes. And I think, and then it's a discussion about, I mean, what is good, what is bad for the world. And there are some cases where it's obviously, so to say, good, and then it's obvious bad. We also have the negative list, but then we have the big middle part, and that's the interesting part, because there is always pros and cons, and you can argue, so to say, in different directions. I mean, things are not black and white, and it's gray. But I think also, I mean, we have an opportunity to impact startups. So if they start up at a certain point, I mean, instead of saying no, we don't want to invest in you, it could also be a decision to say, okay, actually we want to invest in you and drive, try to impact and nudge you in the right direction. So then it will be better. So actually how I see this also, like, if we could be part of your startup journey, you will probably end out a more sustainable place. And I would love that compared to another peer not having, I mean, done that. So if a company should exist doing that, then I will would love to see a sustainable version of that instead of a sort of less sustainable version. But to come back to maybe it's also a complicated area, but you mentioned the Bitcoin and crypto and all that, and I think a lot of, not to go deep in that discussion, but a lot of things in life consumes power. Then some people will argue there's a lot of value of Bitcoin and the whole crypto space and how that is working. Let's not go into that. and others will say, okay, it consumes too much power. But then, I mean, where is the balance? Some people will say, okay, it's okay for me that it consumes this power because I think the value for society is even greater that we have a decentralized system and all that. So it's not black and white for me, and there's a lot of details under it, and also, I mean, blockchain and crypto and Bitcoin is also a relatively new technology.
Yeah, it is.
I actually see a lot of potential for it to improve over time. So I think ultimately what you want to achieve with it is good, but maybe there are some challenges on the way. And I think actually the Bitcoin and the crypto community need to come together and try to solve some of these issues. Mm-hmm. And if you dig deeper into this, the miners, the Bitcoin miners, they use energy in order to perform this proof of work.
Exactly.
But actually the benefit of the proof of work is actually the security part of the whole Bitcoin network. So mm-hmm. without, so to say, the proof of work protocol, you will not get the other benefits.
No, exactly.
But the Bitcoin miners, they also need to make a business case. It consumes power, but it's better for them if to take the cheapest power. So then it ripples down to, governments and policymakers. How can we incentivize people to use
that's where it gets really interesting, right?
Renewable energy and not subsidize fossil fuels and maybe CO2 taxes on CO2s instead, and then so it consumes power, but what if it could be sustainable and renewable power instead? But then also on the other time, I think there's a lot of innovation going around mm-hmm. Various types of protocols, and I think now Bitcoin is based on this what is called proof of work protocol, but there are new type of protocols coming up like proof of stake that can solve some of these challenges. So it's also if the end goal is right and there are some bumps on the way, should we just stop there? If you look at all technologies, there's some kind of development phase and they need to overcome some challenges. And if they do that, we will end up in the end in a better place. So there's no, so to say, shortcut. But I think there is so much innovation going around in that community that I have a big hope and believing that they will solve that energy consumption part. So, but it's just to illustrate.
Also before it's too late.
I hope so. but a lot of people are investing other kinds of protocols, not being that power hungry. But I think it's just illustrating it's not black and white, and that takes time to develop and mature new technologies, and I think that has been true for many different kind of technologies. Mm-hmm.
It is true.
Same with cars and transportation. It started out based on fossil fuels. Now we're going into a transition to electric cars and all that, right? So
definitely,
it would take these jumps. And
I love your perspective on that.
So instead
that.
Of stopping innovation, I would rather so to say, it's there.
Keep investing.
How can we then move it in a more sustainable direction? And I think it's great there's a big focus on it because it's an issue, but I also hope that and I believe that there are solutions to some of these problems.
Yeah. So to end it all off, I just wanted to get your take on this and on a more unserious note. So ultimatum wise, if you sit there as a VC and you had to slice one industry that you couldn't invest in anymore because of pollution, what would you choose?
I think we could slide. I would like to see a world where the grid is based on renewed renewable energy. Yeah. So slice all the fossil, so to say,
okay.
Fuels. Yeah. Fuel.
Great answer.
Also linked to the other question we had. Yeah. I mean, so renewable, so to say, energy in general and storage of that. But mm-hmm. then also, I mean, I think in general to solve the climate crisis, I mean, it's not there's not one silver bullet to it.
No.
So there's a lot of different solutions, and we need to work on all that, so to say, together. But we also see a lot of interesting startups addressing renewable energy from different angles and from different sides.
Yeah.
And also digital startups. So
super cool. Well, that's all the time we had for today, but thank you so much for an amazing and interesting conversation. It was such a pleasure hosting you today.
Likewise. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, of course, always. Thank you so much.